In recent days, the Biden administration has launched several counterattacks against ISIS-K. The group claimed responsibility for last week's suicide bombing at the Kabul airport that killed 13 U.S. service members and well over 100 civilians. Yesterday, a U.S. drone strike in Kabul killed a suspected suicide bomber, whom the U.S. military said posed an imminent threat to Americans evacuating the airport. The drone also reportedly killed a number of civilians. Here is Pentagon Press Secretary John Kirby this morning.
We've used the word dynamic a lot, and I know that sounds like Pentagon speak, but that's really the best way to describe the threats we're facing. Dynamic, moving, fluid, quick. And because that's how ISIS-K operates. And we have to try to be as quick and as nimble as they are.
Andrew Mines is with George Washington University's program on extremism. He's been tracking ISIS-K for years, and he joins us now. Andrew, welcome. Good to speak with you.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
And what do you make of the U.S. military's strikes in recent days against ISIS-K? Do you think they were effective?
Well, one of the things we've seen over time is that this group's really resilient and is able to kind of both bounce back and survive periods of intense counterterrorism and counterinsurgency campaigns. And so I think we really need to look past this period and recognize that in the long term, this group is able to survive these kind of strikes.
I think we also need to look back. The group was founded by former members of the Pakistani Taliban, the Afghan Taliban, and others. What is their primary motivation in Afghanistan? What are they trying to achieve?
Their primary motivation is to establish basically what ISIS did in Iraq and Syria in Afghanistan. It used to be Afghanistan and Pakistan, but now it's solely focused on Afghanistan. That means implementing the same version of the Sharia that ISIS did in Iraq and Syria, implementing the same kind of strategy of insurgency in the region too.
And they are enemies of the Taliban, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Can you explain that?
Yeah, sure. So ISK sees the Afghan Taliban as its strategic rivals. The main way that that kind of plays out is that the Taliban are focused on a political entity, an emirate, only within the national confines of Afghanistan, within the borders of Afghanistan. ISIS and ISK do not recognize those boundaries. They view them as heretical, as kind of just, basically implementing of the U.S.-led international world order, and contrary to their efforts to really establish a global caliphate. They also view the Afghan Taliban as not implementing the strictest version of the Sharia that they try to implement. And so they view them as their strategic rivals when they try to kind of seize the legacy of the broader jihadist movement in Afghanistan that's been around for decades.
And so we are now about 24 hours from the end of the U.S. mission in Afghanistan. And once the military leaves, do you think the Taliban will be able to keep ISIS-K in check?
It's a difficult question. Certainly the last week and the last few days has kind of put a few holes in the Taliban's kind of efforts to kind of promote itself as the guarantor of security in Afghanistan.
So you expect a pretty serious conflict between those two groups in the months and years ahead?
Absolutely. This group tries to implement a lot of the same things that the group in Iraq and Syria did. And if we look back to how that group, when it was basically declared down and out in 2009, what they were saying at that time is that the one who can win this war is the one who can best prepare for the period when the occupiers, the Americans, are gone. And so they have ambitions well beyond our withdrawal, and we need to take that very seriously.
To that point, I'm thinking about the attack on Thursday at the airport and wondering if that somehow boosts their stature among other terrorist groups in the region and even maybe could elevate their ability to recruit more fighters because now all of a sudden they're the group in town that everybody's talking about.
Absolutely. Part of it is kind of a messaging campaign. It's awful violence. It's spectacular violence, but it's messaging their resolve and signaling to other groups and other individuals in the region that they are the only viable alternative and the only viable jihadist group in the region, too. They paint the Taliban as collaborators with the West, right? They paint them as failed collaborators with the West. They can't even provide security to the Afghan people. And so that's incredibly damaging to the Taliban's reputation. And it serves for ISK to add more recruits into their ranks on top of the thousands they already got.
Just a week ago, we weren't even really talking about ISIS. We were talking about Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if you think that to some extent, like, this took people by surprise.
I think it definitely took people who haven't been following this closely for the last, 5-6 years that the group's been around by surprise. But We've been tracking this group for years, and we've dropped the largest non-nuclear weapon, the only time we've ever done this, on this group, and they've been able to survive. They've been able to reconstitute. And so it is that ability, that strategic plan, and how much they've learned from Iraq and Syria, and their ability to kind of implement that and oversee these periods of relative decline and hang in for the long term. They have the leadership, they have the vision, they have the resources to pursue this next period of war against the Afghan Taliban. And I think people are just starting to wake up to that. And the scary thing is that when these groups move, they're always kind of doing these things in the background, politicking with local tribes, with other groups. It's always going on in the background. In some ways, like, these spectacular attacks distract from that. And then when they finally do seize control of territory, implement things that we look at as just awful and just violent and horrific against civilian populations, it always, to us, happens so quickly, and we're always very surprised by it. But it's years of planning. It's years of kind of backstage working on top of the attacks that leads to it.
Andrew Mines is with George Washington University's Program on Extremism. He's been tracking the group ISIS-K for years now. Andrew, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me on.
Many of the people evacuated from Afghanistan have been sent to a third country as they await vetting from the U.S. government. It can be a lengthy and harrowing process. Kinan Al-Rifai knows it well. She came to the U.S. in 2014 as one of more than 6.5 million people forced to flee Syria in the decade since the start of that country's civil war. She was separated from her children for 2 years as she waited for their applications to be approved. Her husband's paperwork took several more years. Alexis Marshall of member station WPLN spoke with Al-Rifai about the challenges and opportunities of rebuilding a life for her family in Middle Tennessee.